And I'm proud of my Bible. It's inspired, inerrant. Yeah. Yeah. You say, you seem like you want to preach today. You got that. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. In other words, Ron said, what I got is real.
Amen.
Yeah. Somebody help me here. Is yours real? Uh-huh. Whew. Bible, in verse number 1, Ephesians 2, I preached a message a few weeks ago from 12 on, and I'm going to go down to verse number 7. Got a good thought this morning. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let me stop right there for a minute. You got quickened the moment you believed. You didn't get quickened so you could believe. Calvinist. They believe you get born again first. Quickened first. And then you believe. They're wacko. I know they're popular. They're just the next thing in line. They're the next ism. You say, why are you preaching so hard on them? Because it is a heresy. Heresy. It's still whosoever will. God didn't say, I'm going to put you in heaven and you in hell. No, it's your choice whether you go to heaven or hell. Come on. I'll get some hate mail this week from my Calvinist buddies. They just think they're real smart. Well, you said you don't like that movement very well. No, I don't. They don't want to soul win. They don't want to try to get people saved. They you know, because why do it? You either elect or you're not the elect. Well, I got to get off that. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Woo. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with Christ by grace. Ye are saved. Listen to this. This gets better. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. I'm not done. Hey, Kathy, you know your masterpiece. You know your work of art. Do you know I am going to be an exhibit of the grace of God in the ages to come to show everybody that comes to heaven what God's grace done? Look at verse number 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody. Oh, thank God. I thank God for running to us. And I want God to help me run to him. Somebody help me preach. This is a letter of Paul in prison to the pastor at Ephesus. In chapter 1, he deals with the reality of our salvation. In other words, we're accepted in the blood. It's real. You said, did you, listen, I received him as Savior. I used the word accept him, but I want you to know before I ever accepted him, he accepted me first.
Amen.
You said, what are you telling me, Preacher Smith? I want to tell you what I got. If you read Ephesians 1, we see the will of the Father. Come on.
Amen.
Somebody help me. We see the will of the Father in that he planned it. We see the work of the Son. He purchased it. We see the witness of the Spirit. Whoa, he performed it. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? That was began in eternity past, continues in time present, and will last forevermore.
Amen.
It's real. If you are, hey, if you're hanging around this church this morning and it ain't real in your life, it might be you ain't got it. Or if you do have it, you so have suppressed it so much that you can't, you shake off messages, you shake off everything. You have no joy in Jesus. You have no praise in Jesus. You just sit there like some wooden Indian. You do it every Sunday. If you're a child of God, it ought to be real. If you're a child of God, it ought to be special. If it's a, you're a child of God, the house of God ought to be special. You ought to love it. You ought to love me. Amen. And I ain't even got to the message yet. See, not only chapter 1 do we see a reality, but chapter 2 we see a revolution. What are you saying? I have passed from death unto life. I've had a major, major change. You said, Preacher Smith, I've never had a major change. You better get under the spout where the glory come out. Preacher Smith, I can't even really tell you I ever changed anything. Preacher Smith, I'm living like a devil right now. Every day of my life I live like a devil. If the Holy Ghost ain't telling you you're living like a devil, you are a devil. Boy, it's quiet in here. It altered my life. Can I tell you, listen to me, that little woman back here that you saw me being married to for 44 years, I didn't meet her in the bar. I didn't meet her in some burlesque shop. I met her in church. Took her 6 months to know she was my wife, going to be my wife. First asked, she said no. But I've had a revolution. I'm changed. I'm a new creature. You should quit pushing that so much. You are too if you're saved. I'm going to give you three things and I'll be done. A lot of introduction. First of all, I want you to know in verses 1-3 our past state. I want you to know something. You'll never be saved until you know you're a sinner. You say, what kind of sinner was you? Well, I'm going to tell you. My past state. First of all, I was dead spiritually. Now, Calvinists, I'm dead spiritually. But it didn't mean I couldn't hear. Hello. I was dead spiritually. Not only was I dead spiritually, look at the verse. Where in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air. I had a devilish service. I was a little devil. You know, I know some of you said, well, I'm not bad that bad. I'm moral. You're a little devil. The only thing you're stuck on is your morality and your little posturing religion. You're lost. You're devilish. I'll go further than that. You are of your father, the devil. She said, what are you preaching on anyway? He took me from the tomb and sent me to the throne. You said, what do you mean? I was dead. I was devilish. I was disobedient, selfish. Somebody help me. I was all about self. By the way, there's a lot of Christians all about self, and I wonder about them. I want to tell you, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about a thrice holy God that saw you a sinner and saved you by the grace of God. I had defiled senses, among whom also you had your conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And of the mind, and by nature, the children of wrath. I had defiled senses. I didn't want to follow God. You didn't either, if you say. I was defiled. That's why I didn't, By the way, that's why I didn't quit drinking, because I was defiled. That's why I didn't quit partying, because I was defiled. But once I got saved, that's over. Ain't no partying anymore. No smoking weed anymore. No pornography anymore. You said, what happened? I got changed. Then we had a doomed situation. By nature, we were the children of wrath. We were sinning against a thrice holy God. He's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. If you reverse 1 through 3, we were going to end up in hell. By the way, I'll stop there. Ain't too many preachers preaching on anymore. Church member, if you're not really saved, you're going to end up in hell and burn forever. Your name on Taze Valley's record is nothing. What's important is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And have you really been changed? And are you walking for God? And do you know God? And is the Spirit chastening when you are bad? Whew. See, ain't enough of this preaching going around anymore. We're soft-soaking everything. It means something to be a child of God. We were in the tomb. We were dead. But God.
Amen. I love that.
Let me say it again. But God.
Amen.
How many's glad he didn't leave you where you were? How many's glad he came to you and didn't leave you in the dead spot and didn't leave you real bad, but transformed you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and now you're a child of God. If you got a salvation, he left you like you were, you just ain't never been saved. Not me, boy. I traded a whiskey bottle for a Bible. Amen. I ain't got none of that anymore. You said you've never drank one time since you've been saved. I ain't never sniffed it. I did have one, got throwed up a little beer on me one time when I went out and jerked a church member out of a bar one time. But that's the only time I've had beer around me. He so upset him, he threw up on me. Right up there in Elkview. When I was pastor Leatherwood Baptist, this woman's husband was professing to be saved, and he's down there in the bar, so I just walked in the bar and brought him out. And quit wasting your living on booze. You said you're saved. Then he started crying. He said, I ain't saved. I've been faking. Somebody help me. Let me give you some more. Number two. Not only my past state, I want you to notice my present standing in salvation. Woo. I want you to look here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Somebody, he has shown love. You say, well, he's never showed me no love. It ain't that real to you. He died on the cross for you. That's not love. He was beaten and bruised for you. That's not love. He changed your life. That's not love. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. See, mercy is the capable partner of grace. See, mercy is not getting what you deserve. And some of you church members that's backsliding on God, you better thank God God's showing you mercy right now. You're not getting what you deserve. But grace is getting something you don't deserve. Help me. Thank God for that. It's shown love. The Bible talks about deep riches, rich in mercy. My Lord, I was a heathen. You said, was he strong enough to save you? Was he rich enough to save you? Did he have enough mercy to save you? Hallelujah, he did. Then I see directed recipients for his great love wherein he loved us. Hold it. Why would he even think about you and love somebody as wicked as we are? I know what I was. Look at me. He looked beyond my faults. Church, look over here. He looked beyond your faults and saw your needs. He's rich in mercy. He ain't poor in mercy. He's mediocre in mercy. He's rich in mercy. Woo. And I'm a direct recipient. Then I see a distinct reality. Even when we were dead in sin, when I was nasty, when I was walking by the old nature, when I was notorious, you said, what were you? I was the pace car. I was out in front of the rest, wicked I could be. But God, who was rich in mercy, took me from the tomb. Y'all stay with me. Whew. Not only is shown love, it's a shared life. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You a child of God? Amen. Get up here. We quickened together.
Amen.
How many of y'all child of God, children of God? Raise your hand. Amen. We all quickened together. Woo!
Amen.
That's a shared life. He reached down in the miry clay and pulled you out of the miry clay and put you on a solid rock, and we're sharing it together. That's what we got in common. Whew. Quickened together. I see a mirrored redeemer. When we got saved, our lives started to mirror the redeemer. How many believe that? I want you to know something. I'm not always there yet, but I want you to know this. People know I'm saved. They can tell by the way I live. See, I'm mirroring Christ. Oh, yeah. I'm living enough Christian life that they see Christ in me. I was in a restaurant last weekend by myself. Don't usually eat alone, but I did that day. And the people, I prayed, and I was sitting there, and I turned on my iPhone, turned on Audible, and I didn't have any mirror things. I can't stand them. I can't put hearing aids in them too, okay? And I was listening to some Rochester stuff, you know, some gospel stuff. And I just happy. There's somebody sitting about three booths down, came over and sat. And here's what he said. You look saved. Are you saved? You're a Christian. I said, are you? Yeah. She said, yeah, but I ain't got quite what you got. I said, well, I want to tell you what I got's real. I can't help but exude it and mirror it. I really believe this. You're saved. You're wanting to mirror the Redeemer. You want to be like Christ. You can't be like Christ and be in the party scene. You can't be like Christ and be in the popular scene. Oh, I've got to be popular. No, no, no. I'll be honest with you, I'm not real popular outside of my ranks. And I ain't real popular in them. Because I preach too hard. Oh, well, listen. Then I see a matchless resource. By grace are you saved. Whew. The power that raised Christ up raised me up.
Amen.
Took me from the tomb. Y'all with me? Whew. I'm having the time of my life this morning. Whew. When sin and justice says I'm guilty, mercy said no. And grace says let him alone. See, not only did I have a shown love to share life, listen to this, verse 6, I had a sensational lift. Woo! Y'all chill, how many like his, you say? Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Woo! Somebody help me. In Christ Jesus. First of all, I've had a heavenly placement. I was in the tomb. But now I'm on the throne. You say, how do you believe that? Well, is he on the throne? Is he on the throne? How many of y'all grab me? He's on the throne? Well, if I'm sitting together with him in heavenly places, where am I? He done took me from a tomb, death, and brought me to the throne. And I ask Christians, if you have got throne rights, why in the world are you living below your privileges? Sitting around acting like some kind of somebody that don't have something. You've been brought from the tomb and you've been raised to the throne. Somebody's sitting back here going, what in the world is wrong with you? You mean you don't like your position in Christ? You don't like your standing in Christ? It was a sensational lift. Can't be no better than take me out of a tomb and put me on the throne. It was a heavenly placement. There was a holy person set together in Christ Jesus. Our lives are hid in Christ. Somebody help me. It was a high, high position. You said, preacher, do you have any desire to be anything else? You know, the president's got a high position. He really don't. He really don't. The governor's got a high, he really don't. He doesn't have a high position as I do. Because, see, I'm sitting together in heavenly places. Child of God, why aren't you enjoying what you got? Why don't you come all the time and say, I want to enjoy this. I love this. I'm saved. I'm what you said. High position. Hey, you can't get no better being at the throne. I was laying in some tomb dead in sin. But God transferred me to the kingdom of light. And now I'm at the throne. I ain't done yet. One little point. Can I finish? Number three. Our perspective supply. This right here. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I know what some of you are impressed with, and ain't nothing wrong with having a good home. I got one. But I want y'all to know something. Your home may be impressive to me. And listen, I'm glad to have one. Hey, Rich, in the ages to come, you know what's next? John Smith's going to move into a mansion. In my Father's house in many mansions. I know your NIV might say in many rooms, but mine don't. He didn't build me a room. He built me a mansion. I'm going to heaven and have a mansion. One day after the judgment seat and after the millennial, he's going to wipe away all my tears in the ages to come. Hello? He ain't going to do it until after the tribulation, after the millennial. Because every one of you ain't going to serve in the millennial. If you ain't been faithful, you're not going to be serving the millennial. You'll be there, but you ain't going to be serving. That's what I got in the ages to come. I'm going to serve in the millennial. In the ages to come, the cheapest thing I'm going to walk on is gold. In the ages to come, there'll never be another funeral. There'll never be another heartache. There'll be never another dispute. There'll never be a domestic violence. There'll never be a low-cost man filled with a devil killing 17 kids. No, not in heaven. Not in heaven. None of that's going to heaven. None of it. None of it. It's a wonderful place. It's a glorious place. It's a place you need to go to. If you're not saved, you need to get out of your, let God get you out of your tomb and let him put you on the throne this morning. And get ready for heaven. That's a whole lot better than being in hell.
Amen, brother.
But listen to me. Listen to me. He's preparing a place for me. Somebody said, are you going to get to eat in heaven? Oh, yeah. They said there's a tree up there that's bearing fruit every month I can eat if I want to. And if he's preparing a place for me, this is just my holy imagination. He knows how I like 16-ounce prime ribs. Baked potato loaded. Some ahi tuna on the side. Little shrimp and a Barbie. I don't know what he's going to do for me up here, but he's going to do a whole bunch. See, everybody told you young people, heaven ain't worth it. They told you living a Christian life ain't worth it. It is worth it. It is wonderful. It is glorious. It is majestic. It's worth it. We need to mirror him. Whew. Let me ask you, are you still in the tomb? Or have you made it to the throne? And if you've made it to the throne, are you living like you are on the throne? Bow your head with me. Head bowed and eyes closed. Dear Lord. People was at the altar already praying. Head bowed. Other people, come on, pray. That's all right. If you're here tonight, today and you know for sure you're saved, I can't talk you out of it. You don't have a doubt in this world about it. And go ahead and get ready to get baptized. Hey. You don't have a doubt in the world about it, raise your hand if you know you're saved. Hold them up high, hold them a minute. So this old man can look. God bless you. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. I wonder how many of you couldn't raise your hand and say, I don't want to go to hell, but I want to go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. I get saved before I die or go to hell. And I'd like to have an enjoyable life, preacher. I don't even have that. Raise your hand if you're... Raise your hand if you're not saved. Say, pray for me. Sip up up high. I see that hand. Somebody else? Teenager, mom and dad? Somebody else? Sip it up real high so I can see you. I see your hand. God bless you. I want to ask how many Christians know that you're saved, but you won't lie about it. You're living below your privileges. You're not mirroring Christ. You're not where you used to be in Christ. You don't have the joy you used to have. I wonder how many Christians would be honest enough and say, I'm saved, but I don't have the joy I used to have. Slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I see that hand. Hold them up. Hold them up. Hold them up. Hold them up. Thank you. Now here's what I want you three, four, five, or whatever it is. You need to come up. The reason you don't have the joy is because you got sin that's blocking the joy. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. He'll forgive you and put you back in fellowship. Not being saved again, back in fellowship. Anybody else out of fellowship? What prayer this morning? Stand with me. And all you that raise your hand, I want you to come. Father, God, touch this altar service. Help us. That one that raised their hand lost, help them to come. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is coming a day.
Come on. If you're away from God, don't have the joy you used to have. You ought to walk there.
No more clouds in the sky.
You ought to walk there.
Tears to dim the
eye. You ought to walk there.
All is peace forever.
That's right. Don't let nothing steal your joy. Don't let nothing steal your joy. There's a lot of joy stealers. Don't you let nobody steal your joy. Come on.
What a day.
Can you raise your hand? What, sing a little bit of that.
When my Jesus I shall see.
Can you walk? worship him.
And I look upon his face, the one who saved.
Y'all sing it like you know. Worship.
What a day that will be when my Jesus
worship.
I shall see.
Praise
and
him.
I look.
You're going to see because he's with you.
His face,
came to you.
The one
amen.
Who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by
you're going to do that a little bit again. Come here, Karen. Look here. When he
takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. Glorious
day. Was that good enough? That's good again, ain't it? We're going there.
Amen.
You're going to inherit a mansion.
Amen.
You're going to be blessed.